And the next front in the climate wars is coming soon to a city council agenda near you. Tonight, Berkeley City Council is going to be taking up a first of its kind in the nation ordinance that would bar the installation of natural gas infrastructure in new residential construction. There are a lot of big apartment buildings coming online in the city of Berkeley. The argument here is that Berkeley could be doing something very positive for the climate if it ensures that their heat, their water heaters, their cooking facilities are all running on electricity in the future. We're joined now by the author of that ordinance. Kate Harrison serves as Berkeley City Council member representing District 4. That is Central Berkeley and downtown. Thank you so much for coming in.
You're welcome. Thank you, Brian and Kat.
Why?
Why? Natural gas in buildings represents about 20 million gallons of gasoline a year. The GHG impacts of our buildings are the second only to what we see in automobiles. I think buildings have gotten a pass in a sense. We think about factories, we think about cars when we think about pollution, but buildings are an enormous source of this. In order to put it in context, we would have to grow a forest half the size of Alameda County to absorb the amount of greenhouse gases that we produce through natural gas in our buildings.
Counterpoint, cooking with electric is awful.
First of all, we're looking only at new buildings. And secondly, Julia Child and Wolfgang Puck would completely disagree with you, as well as the 21 restaurants at LAX's Bradley Terminal, which have gone all electric. We have seen a big revolution in electric cooking. We're now on using induction stoves, and you'll see a little demonstration of that this evening.
Induction stove. So for people who haven't played with the fancy new technology, I had to use one when there was some construction in my kitchen. It's like smooth glass. There's some kind of magnetic field that heats any ferrous metals that are above it. So you have to throw out your like copper and aluminum cookware, but your cast iron gets really hot, really fast, really evenly.
That's correct, but you also can't burn yourself. You could put a piece of paper on this induction stove and it would not light on fire.
So maybe less fire department calls too.
That's right. And a lot safer for chefs in general. The kitchen is less hot. And the methane release from stoves is quite dangerous for children with asthma. It's a number one leading cause of asthma in children, particularly in disadvantaged communities.
Really? So it's like an indoor air quality issue in addition to the climate issue?
Correct. And I misspoke. It's not the methane release. It's the actual burning of the products
sure,
on your regular stove.
The fine particulates, the combustion byproducts.
Mm-hmm. That's something I wasn't as aware of when I started on this journey, but the health impacts are enormous.
Kate Harrison, is there any pushback against this? Any contractors saying if we don't spec our facilities with oversized commercial stoves, we're not going to be able to sell them to the obscenely wealthy people who are buying market rate housing in Berkeley these days?
It's funny you should mention that because we have two developers who are building new buildings in the downtown, large buildings, and they are going to be going all electric except for the stoves. They're pre this ordinance. And that is sort of the big concern that people have is the stoves. But I think once people learn more about this induction cooking, that will fade away. When we really look at the production of GHGs in the home, it's mainly from hot air and hot water. So making that transition in and of itself will make a big difference. I also need to correct something you said earlier. This is not just for residential buildings. Mm. It's for all building types in Berkeley. As the Energy Commission models being able to go all electric, those buildings will come online. They just haven't done any work in the other sectors yet. So maybe in 5 years, they'll be looking at industrial buildings, how to make them all electric. By the time they have a model, this ordinance will be in place, and we will pick up those buildings as well.
You make it sound so sensible. Why haven't any other cities already gone there?
Most cities have focused on working with the Energy Commission to improve what's known as their REACH codes, which incentivize using electric instead of natural gas. The problem is the California state models undervalue the externalities that we see from natural gas. They value carbon at about $18 a metric ton when the social cost of carbon is really about $100. Mm. The models also don't put any price on the health and safety impacts of piping a liquid flammable gas into your home under fault lines as we have in California.
So Berkeley would be the first city in the country to do this?
Yes, that's correct.
But a lot of, you know, like in Oakland, Councilmember Kaplan and the mayor in Oakland, et cetera, talk about regional solutions to our climate issues. Are there conversations with neighboring cities like San Francisco or Oakland, Vallejo?
Yes, both about our ordinance and our own REACH code, which tries to incentivize people to go all electric. We are doing that in coordination with many cities in Alameda County. We share an energy provider, East Bay Community Energy, so we tend to work with the cities in this county. So that REACH code effort is a multi-county effort.
Now, you said it's the second biggest source of greenhouse gases in the city of Berkeley. I assume the first biggest source is tailpipes.
That's correct.
Berkeley is choked with traffic. The bicycle routes are pretty miserably maintained. It's like riding on a cheese grater for me to get home from here. why not invest more energy into, you know, addressing that biggest source?
We are spending an inordinate amount of energy on that. We have a multi-year bike plan that has set aside bike boulevards that will be separated from traffic, as you see in Oakland on Broadway. That effort is starting with Milvia Street.
No, you've got them. They just need pavement.
Okay, but that's a good point. That's part of our paving plan. In terms of cars, the difference is that tenants don't have a choice of the buildings they live in. So when you build a multi-unit building, they don't know about the health impacts, the safety impacts, et cetera. They're just going to use the stove that's given to them, the hot water heater that's given to them. Individual consumers make decisions about the cars they drive. Where we're having a disconnect, I think, in the transportation sector is in the discussion of mass transit. How do we move that to be more clean? We just saw the CPUC come out and say the airport shuttles will all be clean energy vehicles. I don't remember what year that starts, but we really need to invest in public infrastructure for transportation. And while biking is great for some, it doesn't work for all. And I think we need to move away from the car-centered culture that we have. It's a very hard thing to do because people are used to having their own car.
Right now, Urbanist Twitter is screaming into the ether, yeah, you are a city with three BART stations and two of them are surrounded by surface parking lots.
I agree. And we actually, you know, we're working on putting housing at the North Berkeley and Ashby BART station. The third one is not in our city, it's in Oakland. But we are working very hard to put housing in those places. But we need to make sure that commuters also have a way to get to these BART stations. Because realistically, if you're a secretary in San Francisco who has to be at work at 8 a.m., you don't have one of those jobs that allows you flexibility, and you have to get to BART, we have to find a way to get you to BART. Again, that goes back to the mass transit and public transit piece of this. We need to find ways to work with our transit agencies to say this is an essential transit route, is getting people to this BART station, where we will now be putting housing, as
right.
we should.
Right. And Brian and I have had this conversation before. Yes, you've got the secretary needs to be at work at 8 a.m. You've got the mother, the single mother of five kids that all need to be in different places, right, at different
correct.
Times. So, and so what is, along with the infrastructure that the cities need to be building, there's also, I believe, a shift in propaganda and messaging that's going to appeal to people who may not be thinking about this is bad for the climate, or this is whatever. I got to do what I got to do to take
exactly.
care of my family.
Exactly. And we need to take care of those folks. I really agree with that. I think that this whole issue of driving or not driving has been cast as a intergenerational issue. And I see it more as a class issue in a lot of ways. We have to create transit for people that live further out so that they don't have to drive to BART stations, so they can take their kids to these appointments. So a lot of the discussion about, it's great, we'll have autonomous vehicles, we'll have Uber and Lyft, and we'll make them clean. I think it's not relevant to this discussion. I think for most people, that just doesn't help them. They can't afford that Lyft ride. I'd like to go back to the building initiative for a minute, if I could.
Okay, we're going to try our hardest to get you off course again afterwards.
Okay, that's fine. You go ahead. I'm up for the challenge. One reason, why local? Why do this in Berkeley? Well, we're building, as you know, about 5,000 new housing units, which I'm very proud of, over the next 5 years. That's what's been entitled. That's what we're going to see in the city of Berkeley. Those buildings are facts on the ground. If we build those with natural gas, they will have natural gas for 100+ years. So another important piece of this initiative is, in addition to requiring those buildings that have been found by the CEC to be cost effective to build electric, we're requiring that all new buildings, whatever type, have to be electric ready. They have to put in the panels, the conduit, the wiring. So when we do find it to be cost effective to go all electric for that building type, they're ready to go. Because the biggest challenge, and again, this hits people with lower incomes, is a lot of our older housing stock isn't electric ready. My house, I needed to replace my heater. I did do so finally with an electric heat pump, but it was a problem because I had to replace the electric panel. So we need to get people ready for this transition. And that's another piece of this effort, is to make things electric ready.
But isn't the side effect of that that you're making all construction incrementally more expensive, maybe slowing down expansion of housing overall?
In fact, no. The Rocky Mountain Institute has found there's about a $5,000 per house savings for going all electric. If you imagine the capital costs of running gas pipelines and all of that through buildings, up to and through buildings, that adds a significant cost to building construction. There's also space savings from all of that gas infrastructure that can be used for units, parking, et cetera. Actually, a lot of studies have shown that it's actually less expensive in upfront cost, also because of connection fees to PG&E's gas lines. Those are expensive connections. We have two developers, as I mentioned, downtown that have seen this work and have already decided to do all electric except for stoves at this point, and because they see the savings potential in this. Affordable housing developers are building all electric all over the country. And why? Because they can only charge a certain amount of rent, thank goodness, to tenants, and they have a... That includes the utility costs. So if they can lower utility costs, they can collect more in rent. If utility costs are high, that's amount of rent they can't have. They've seen these savings, and they're saying, look, we'd rather save on the utility costs and collect more in rent so we can keep our buildings up.
So who's against it?
So far, the big opposition has been from people who haven't understood all the details of how we're phasing it in. Mm-hmm. I think that's one thing. The phase-in is a very important feature of this legislation. We have heard from an organization called, I think it's Californians for Balanced Energy Solutions, who represent SoCal Gas and Electric. They're very concerned this will take off in other places. I think Berkeley's uniquely situated to do this because we have clean energy through our East Bay Community Energy Agency. This may not work in places that use coal or natural gas to produce energy, but mm-hmm. we're not doing that here. So for us, it's a very good solution. It may not work for everyone.
Speaking of Kate Harrison, she serves as a city council member for the city of Berkeley, representing District 4. That's downtown and central Berkeley. She is pushing an item that is on tonight's agenda that would bar the use of natural gas in new construction, the installation of natural gas infrastructure, and create a set of incentives for pulling it out of existing construction. That is on the agenda for the meeting starting tonight at 5 o'clock.
I just had one. So you talked about that one group of opposition. What about restaurant owners in the city of Berkeley? What are they saying?
So far, because we're not affecting any existing buildings or locations. So if you have a use there, even if the ownership changes, you've already had a use in that place, it won't be affected by the ordinance.
Got it.
So tell me a little bit about, like, the politics of this. The natural gas industry obviously feels threatened. You said they have a front group. They're sending people to the meetings. Does that have any larger consequences in city politics, or is that really kind of peripheral to the debate?
I'm looking forward to my colleagues hearing all sides of the story. I think that's important. I am always open to questions and concerns from others. We have evolved in this ordinance over time, the time we've been working on it. Originally, it was an outright ban. Now it's being phased in. We added the electric ready component as I realized how important that was. And we've added staff to the planning department to help developers work through this and all the other green initiatives that we have in the city. We need to put resources into city staff. It'd be one position to really help be the focus for this.
Do you think you have the votes?
Yes.
Final question, Kate Harrison. How do you roast and char an eggplant for Baba Ghanoush without an open gas flame?
They make electric deep frat fires. They make electric sort of barbecue elements. They make roasting elements. I should have brought you the fact sheet with all the various kinds of cooking that you can do. And in fact, for French fries, when you're deep frying, it's better for restaurants because it's faster. When you cook with electric, it stays hotter longer. So you take that basket out, you put a basket in, you're going to make more money at lunch when people are in a big rush.
Your answer is very confident, but it still has not told me how to make good Baba Ghanoush.
I'm going to ask colleagues of mine that are better cooks. I'm too busy to cook, sorry.
They'll be accepting recipes during public comment day. Tonight's City of Council meeting in Berkeley. Kate Harrison, thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thank you for your time very much. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Kate Harrison represents District 4 on the Berkeley City Council. She's pushing the resolution that's on tonight's agenda that would bar natural gas infrastructure in new construction in the City of Berkeley and allocate some resources to creating incentives to get it out of existing construction.